Hold open those doors to the sanctuary and invite all people to come in. Ours is a congregation which welcomes the free spirit and the free mind, a place where all may call and be called. We have traveled many miles and been through much this week before coming together. Let this service of worship also show our respect and appreciation for one another and for the holy in our midst. Let us join our hearts and minds in the spirit of prayer or meditation. We have traveled many miles and been through much this week. Our candles are lit for those who have suffered a loss or who have seen a dream fade, for those who have made important decisions and realize now is the time for the hard work of making that decision a reality. From the world of our everyday lives with all its demands and cares, we gather to acknowledge the sacred in everyday life, to honor the blessings of imperfection. By many cares and preoccupations, choices, moves, we are separated from neighbors, long ago friends, families that may be far away, separated even from family living near. At times we are divided even within ourselves as to who we want to be. We would hold fast to the good in the world which we benefit from, and comfort and support appear sometimes when we least expect it. And from someone we would not have thought cared. May we be open to the grace of life and not be too proud to accept help from a friend. May we be open to the need for compassion and love and give it often. And now let us share silence in the midst of this great congregation as we hear the inner promptings of our own hearts. Thank you. And thank you for the beauty of your music today. Thank you to the people who opened the doors early this morning and those of you who set up the coffee and those of you who will be working in the kitchen later. I am a Unitarian Universalist old-time minister. I was fellowshipped in 79 and I've served maybe 15, 16 of our churches and fellowships, but that doesn't mean I can't hold a job. That means that in almost 30 years, I've had 4 settled ministries and then joined our accredited interim program, the professional interims and church consultants, and now with my husband, Bill Metzger, we are co-ministers and consulting ministers at the Sister Congregation in Denton, Texas. So I come to you today talking about some of the things that I have figured out, maybe some of the similarities over 30 years of being in our congregations. And in doing interim ministry, of course, we are often in a congregation 1 year. But I've found that in in many circumstances, from congregation to congregation, there is someone who reminds me so much of another person in a congregation I may have served a couple of years before. It isn't that we clone each other. It's that we have such similar values, and probably the highest degree of introverts in the country in a religious community, that you can indeed go from congregation to congregation. And even though, for instance, I visit First Church in Dallas, where I was ordained in 1980, and I can see one or two people I knew there, but is a whole different congregation? Or is it? I find that the ghosts, not of Christmas past, but of church in the early 1910, 1920, and on, are still hanging around there, except being such a healthy congregation, that congregation has made friends with its ghosts, because if you are afraid or you fear or you take seriously the hungry ghosts, and I'll describe some of those, then you acknowledge your kinship with them, and somewhat like vampires, you become their food. Think of it this way. There's a spirit in congregations, and this is what I mean when I'm talking about ghosts. As I walked in the sanctuary this morning, my steps picked up because this was a lively and awake congregation, even at 9:45. And your faces are clear, and as you look back at me right now, it's exciting to be in this room. On the other hand, there's a spirit in some congregations that are on the wane, that are even dying, and will close their doors. And that spirit is, often you'll see people who've known each other for a long time sitting together in a cluster, so that when new people come in, if they can find it, if they dare to come in, then you see they're off to one side and not being welcomed because there is supposedly no future. And when you leave, it's been a downer, and you have lost energy, and in that sense, metaphorically, the ghosts have been feeding on you and me. But when you're energized and you leave feeling that you have a takeaway message, something to chew on for the week, some beautiful music, a friendly, warm hand, someone acknowledging you, and hopefully not doing business during coffee hour. That's one of the hungry ghosts I'll get to later. Especially if you have a silver coffee service, as some churches I've served. But ministers and congregations, how these two meet and energize and disappoint and continue with each other. Well, the hungry ghosts appear around these important events. Fundraisers, that's a good one. Apart from canvases, and capital fund drives are just really fodder. It's like more than hors d'oeuvres. And when there is a change, a big change, and I've often found going from congregation to congregation that the biggest change in any congregation is when you bring in a new minister and when a previous minister leaves. Now, some ministers can leave And there's very little except a feeling of, well, that was a good time. That was really a good time. But when parishioners become so attached to a minister, then the spirits of moving on, let's say, may not at all find nourishment. And the hungry ghost of old Reverend so-and-so was the best reverend and served my family, and there can't be another one. And I guess we have to put up with this person as long as they're here. And that doesn't sound very Unitarian Universalist, does it? Whatever that is. But I guarantee that it's real. And it takes years and years for that to change. Well, I think it's very important to realize that the older members are not the carriers of the hungry ghosts, necessarily. Older members in your congregation, in any congregation across the continent that I've found, are often the mentors, and they're the wise people who have seen so many things in the congregation that they can mentor the new people. They can welcome them in. And in a sense, sometimes your longer-term members, I don't like the word older, especially because I am older, but your longer-term members can be one of your great allies in terms of having hungry ghosts just go feed somewhere else. They're not interested. I was talking a while ago about fundraisers, your canvas, and so forth. There is the ghost of the personal checkbook, and that is that many people don't know the worth of, for instance, this beautiful building, its contents, the land it sits on, and they think that, or somebody, there are spirits whispering in their ear, well, this ought to be done like I run my personal finances at home. Especially if there's ever a deficit budget, boy, do these ghosts spring up. We can't get into debt, and yet deficit budgeting is a hope and a promise, and a budget is a plan. So authenticity on both parts, the financial people being in the present saying, we believe we can meet this, instead of, we never have deficit budgets around here, and I don't know what you have or what you don't, and I'm trying to figure out what to call Davidson. Your wonderful minister doesn't know what I'm going to say. He's sitting back there appalled. But I would just say, blessed are the flexibles, for they shall not be bent out of shape. So, it's true, it's true. I want to tell you about a special incident that occurred early in my ministry. I was up in the frozen north, and I learned my coat from Dallas really didn't help against the cold in northern Illinois and Madison, Wisconsin, and so forth. But there was a very gentle and delightful older woman whose husband had died and who wanted to donate something to the church that had meant so much to them. And somewhat unwisely, she was advised that the fellowship hall needed tables rather than their advising that there was a fund for adding things to the congregation and so forth. And this dear woman. I remember her so often. One day I was up at the church and in the fellowship hall, and all of a sudden the tables that had been donated in memory of her husband were being carried out to a church event at another location. And she said, "There goes Henry. You can't do that." And fortunately, there were people around to explain to her about how this gift kept on giving and giving. But out of incidents like that, there can come things that say, you can never move those tables. And 100 years later, although they're falling apart, and there are layers of potlucks past, the hungry ghosts of you can't ever do that again because it hurt someone is there. Now, there are other ways, of course, of memorializing people, but I have noticed that that happens sometimes from congregation to congregation. And another ghost, a hungry ghost, is religious communities in the UUA that believe themselves to be unique. It's the ghost of unique. I've heard for most of my 30 years serving UU congregations that somebody visited, say, King's Chapel, and after being there remarked, "Gee, that was really something," and then saying, "But I just couldn't go to a place like that," although it's our history. And it's too traditional or too Christian, with a small c, forgetting or never even knowing that some of our congregations today are UU Christian. Diversity. We like diversity. We like to talk about diversity without knowing that some of our larger churches, a few, and in the Northeast are UU Christian. Well, someone from a larger UU church visiting a fellowship, for instance, might say, "It was so disorganized and me generation. People stood up and talked about themselves in ways that were overly personal, and I was embarrassed at what some of them said." I get the idea they don't like ministers either. So that's definitely a fellowship ghost that lives on and on. And so when my husband and I serve a fellowship, we often tell them, "We're going to have a safe Sunday." And I think to myself, the hungry ghost can have a Sunday off. And this will be a safe Sunday where you can bring your coworker or your aunt or mother or someone you've been wanting to learn about Unitarian Universalism, and we'll guarantee no embarrassment. So it could be called a no embarrassment or a safe Sunday. Well, so many of our congregations suffer from being sanctuaries. That is, by language and by where they're located, there are outsiders or insiders or members. Now, people talk about in our congregations having this done in-house, and to which I say, and forgive me this one little slip, but I say, well, where is the outhouse if you're going to have it done in-house? And can you believe visitors coming to a church or fellowship on Sunday and hearing themselves called outsiders and not even recognizing that in the sermon or in the announcements, the sacrament of announcements? And I really like the way you do announcements here. You don't. There are many ways for people to connect at First Unitarian Universalist of Austin. Well, here's another hungry ghost, and perhaps somewhat deserved. There's been a loss of respect for religious leaders. In the liberal churches, this has unfortunately flowered as anti-clericism. And professional, educated people familiar with management and so forth think that they should be able to do it themselves. And many run our churches very effectively as lay leaders, but then when they want to do a service, there's no prayer, there's no silence, and so many things are packed into a service, so nothing will be forgotten, that it is truly an experience. And you know there's got to be the spirit of something there, I guess the spirit of overstuffed. But when people come up to me and say, you know, I really don't like ministers, because I really love people and care about them and care about professionalism, I don't say, oh, well, I don't like you either. I would not find myself doing that. But if you ever hear somebody talking to you and say, I have no use for religion and I don't like ministers, and they're sitting next to you, you can say, well, think about what you just said and what is it you do for a living? And then say to yourself, well, I don't like electrical engineers. But I do wonder what kind of ghost is happening in our congregation when someone can just come up and blithely say, or blanketly say, I don't care for ministers because one time I had this experience with a priest or a minister. And man, that's a ghost. That is a real ghost that's got a hold of that person and won't let go. Well, here are some books that I might recommend. Some of them are not really books. They're articles I tell myself that I would like to write sometimes, put some of this experience to death. I mean, to work. Well, one of them is Choosing the Hill We're Willing to Die On, Mountain or Molehill. I find this so often in our congregations, people needing to sit and reflect as they make decisions that affect the life of the church, whether it's the spoken word or giving information to other people. Is it a mountain or is it a molehill? Is it really a serious problem or is it an inconvenience? And I think if our people can shake off the ghosts of reacting to things that happen in a congregation without first thinking, is this a mountain or is this a molehill? Then we can speak the truth in love, which we are all charged to do, laity and ordained. And while I dislike conflict, sometimes it's important to take a time out and say, time out, you can't do that. If an issue's pushing a hot button, well, it's a good leadership and member workshop in any congregation to decide these are inconveniences and molehills, and we will consider these others problems and mountains to work on forever. And out of that, then have the intestinal fortitude to do it. And as minister, of course, be right the first time, always. Well, here's some ideas for books either I'd like to write or I actually have. One is The Care of Difficult People. And another is The Minister is Not the Manager of a Country Club. Another one, That's Not What I Meant, Practicing Communication Back and Forth from Ministers to Lay Leaders. Here's another one that is a real book, and it's for any profession. Never call them jerks. another one staying out of triangles. And here's one, notes for your nominating committee. How to tell the truth about how many meetings someone you're trying to recruit from the board will actually have. Their personal liability in case of a whammo lawsuit against the church, that they will be expected to attend church frequently, board and congregational meetings always, and if you can't, do everyone a favor and resign with regret. Notes for your nominating committee. How not to put together the board from hell, even if we don't believe in it. Okay, how to read a nonprofit balance sheet, and especially how to know what the church grounds and contents and land are worth. And if you're a board member, you're responsible for that. Here's one, care and feeding of volunteers. Read often, and restoring the soul of a church. I look out and I see eyes, windows to the soul in this congregation. And another that I think you are so fortunate to have, although I don't think the book is, the exact book has been written, but Honest Religion, yay. And lastly, do you really love me? That can go either way. Well, the majority of our congregations come together because they have a purpose in mind. They are rugged individuals with a flocking instinct for each other, and they truly want to be together. And whatever comes out of this being together in community, the care or comfort or support or afflicting the comfortable, having true decisions that are more than nice, having true conversations that come to the depths so that we see each other's souls in holy conversations. When you see these, you know, the hungry ghosts have been fed and they've gone off somewhere else where there's something left for them. May it be so here. I don't see a one. Take care.